Part 15, Chapter 1. Fleeting impressions, half seen through a wall composed of darkness and pain. Dim consciousness of being in a ship and landing. Of someone spooning broth at him. Of being carried in a stretcher with rain on the blankets. Of a stone-walled room. Of different faces. Of whispered conversations. Of another stretcher. Of another plane. Of time going by. Of other faces. Then the muted roar of a plane. And a pain in his arm. He sank back into darkness. He thought he was in the drone again. He opened his eyes. He saw Dunaldin's face. He must still be in the sea. But no, he was not cold. He was warm.
"He's coming round,"
said someone softly.
"We'll be able to operate soon."
He opened his eyes and saw boots and kilts. A lot of boots and kilts standing beside what he was lying on. A plane's motors? He was in a plane. He turned his head a little and it hurt. But there was Dunaldin's face. Johnny saw that he was on a sort of table. He was in a plane, a passenger plane. There was a tall gray man in a white coat on his left side. There were a lot of older Scots on his right side. Four young Scots were sitting on a bench. There was another table with some shiny things on it, beyond the doctor. Dunaldin was sitting beside him, and there was a tube and a sort of pump connecting Dunaldin's arm with his own.
"What's this?"
whispered Johnny, indicating the tube, or trying to.
"Blood transfusion,"
said Dunaldin. He felt he should be very careful about what he said. He was smiling, but he was worried and felt very bad. Keep a bright face on it.
"Laddie, you are singularly fortunate. You are getting the royal blood of the Stuarts, no less, which puts you into direct line, after me, of course, to the throne of Scotland."
The doctor was signaling Dunaldin to take it easy. They all knew that Johnny might die. That there wasn't a 30% chance of his recovery. Not with those two severe skull fractures and other injuries, as well as shock. His respiration was too shallow. In the underground hospital where they had operated for centuries, in a land where skull injuries were common, the doctor had seen too many die in less injured condition than this one. He was looking down at the big, handsome lad with something like pity.
"This is Dr. McKendrick,"
said Dunaldin to Johnny.
"He'll handle you all right. You always overdo things, Johnny. Most would be content with one skull fracture, but not you, laddie. You've got two."
Dunaldin smiled.
"You'll be right as rain in no time."
He wished he could believe it. Johnny's face bore the gray of death.
"Maybe I should have waited for you in the drone, if you were so close,"
whispered Johnny.